a sure hope, a certain hope, a living hope, through which we draw near to God. Okay, so what the law could not do, what the Levitical priesthood could never do, Jesus has done. Through, meaning through him or through whom, which we draw near to God. It's all because of Jesus.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, it's great having you joining us today for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the New Testament Epistle of Hebrews. Today, Pastor covers chapter 7, which focuses on the superior, eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ, comparing him to the mysterious figure Melchizedek. So let's join Pastor for today's message. Do you like a mystery?
Now, this morning is going to be different. We're going to cover these 28 verses, and we will not going to go long or anything like that, so don't worry about that. However, chapter 7, as we enter in, loved one, listen to me. This begins a brand new section, one of the most important sections, or the main section, actually, of Hebrews. Chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, they are so vital because this what's takes us, if you will, and the Jewish believers then, takes us back behind the veil to where the Holy of Holies into the very presence of God. Amen? So chapter 7 is often neglected by the believer. It's read over very quickly, or it maybe not even read at all. But listen to me now. As we start this new section, these 28 verses, my prayer is that you bathe your heart in these words. I'm going to be teaching, not preaching this morning, teaching, okay? No humor. That's right, I'm sorry. So these 28 verses, we've got to get this. Remember that we left off, or the writer, actually, remember the digression? In chapter 5, remember he says, I want to talk to you about Melchizedek. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard to explain it. And the reason it's hard to explain it, as the writer said, is because you have become dull of hearing. You have lazy ears. You don't want to hear the truth. And I can't teach it to you. I want to. He says, but you know, you're just a bunch of babies. You're still on the milk, and you're not ready for the solid food of God. Remember, the milk is what Jesus did in his earthly ministry, and the solid food is to those two who are mature. But what Jesus is doing now in his heavenly ministry. Amen? Now, so with all of that being said, chapter 7 introduces us to a better priesthood. Chapter 8 is a better covenant. Chapter 9 is a better sanctuary. Chapter 10 is a better sacrifice. Now, listen carefully. We have to prepare our hearts right now that we're not going to be dull of hearing this morning. Because, like I said, I'm teaching through 28 very difficult verses. And I want you to get it because you need to get it into your heart. Amen? So there's only one command in chapter 7. It's found in verse 4, and it's that word consider. Give careful attention to what you're about to learn about and read about. Now, before us is one of the most incredible, proofs of the inspiration of the Scriptures and the unity of the Scripture found in God's Word to me. We're going to go all the way back in a minute to Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to tell you the story of Abraham and Melchizedek that's there. And then, can you imagine how long ago that was? And how few people know anything about Melchizedek? Now, and then all of a sudden, 1,000 years after the Genesis 14 meeting with Abraham and Melchizedek, 1,000 years later, King David is filled with the Spirit of God, and he is writing a prophetic word in Psalm 110, verse 4, about that he is a priest. God has sworn that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's the second time in Scripture he's mentioned. First, Genesis, and then in the Psalms, and then 1,000 years later, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe to be Paul, mentions him no less than, I think, at least 5 times in the book of Hebrews. When you think about mysterious Melchizedek, he's a mystery, isn't he? Amen? Now, do you like a mystery?
Yes.
Okay, well then we're going to learn right here this morning, and we're going to meet Melchizedek. Now, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 through 4 there, again, like I just mentioned, that takes us back to Genesis 14. You can turn there if you want to. You don't have to. I'm only going to be there for a second. But everything that we know about Melchizedek, loved one, listen, everything we know about this mysterious person is found in only three verses of Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. Now, here's what I want you to do. Later, when you get home, why don't you study Genesis 14? Because it's an amazing chapter. Chapter 14 is a chapter of first, if you will. Let me just give you a few. The first recorded battle of the Bible is in Genesis 14. The first mention of war, bread, wine, priest, peace, the numbers 12 and 13, the Most High God, tithes, found first time in the Bible in Genesis 14. Also, for the first mention of the word king. Now, there's going to be 10 kings, if you read it tonight or later, 10 kings in chapter 14 of Genesis, but there's only one king of righteousness, only one king of peace. Now, let me set this up. Well, first of all, Abraham, the Eastern kings, 12 of them, I believe it is, maybe even 13 of them, they come in and they ransack and they sack Sodom. They take all the captives there. And guess who was living at Sodom? Lot. And so that's, of course, Abraham's nephew. And so when he finds out that he has been kidnapped, all of his family, and all the plunder that has been taken, he tells 318 of his armed men, go get them. And they go out there, and by night they capture them, they defeat the kings, and they come back with all of the booty, man. And all of a sudden, something happens when Abraham returns from the battle and when he defeated the kings, beginning, let me read it to you, in Genesis 14, 17. And then the king of Sodom, well, he went out to meet Abraham at the Valley of Shaveh, that's the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then, here it comes, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he brought out bread and wine. Isn't that interesting? What would that symbolize today? The communion, amen? He says, and he brought out the bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed Abraham and said, oh, blessed be Abram of the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God of the Most High who has delivered your enemies, Abraham, into your hand. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. Now listen carefully. That was Genesis 14. Here is Melchizedek, his one and only appearance in the Word of God. He just comes on the scene, and then he leaves. Again, like I told you earlier, 1,000 years will pass, and then King David is going to pen a prophetic word, Psalm 110, verse 4, about Melchizedek. Let me read it to you again. It says, where the Lord sworn, will not relent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So then 1,000 years pass again, and then, of course, we're reading that now that's on the printed page. Now, listen. To understand these verses, we have to develop or have a Jewish mindset, loved one. Let's begin now and look at this great mystery in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, remember, priest of the Most High God, that term there means universal God, the God who's over everything, the possessor of earth and heaven, everything. It says, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now listen very carefully. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 7, he is going to do something. He is going to prove once and for all to the first century Jewish believer that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Remember that they were wanting to draw back some way into some form of Judaism, maybe because of the persecution. We're just not sure, but that doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is Hebrews was written for us to press on. Amen? Not run away. Now, so here we are, and here's what this meant to us and to them. He's saying, listen, guys, there was a priest. His name was Melchizedek, and he was a priest long, long, long before the Aaronic priesthood. Matter of fact, he is the only priest in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, who was both priest and king. And I believe that Abram, See, in Genesis, earlier in Genesis, I know that he knew who El Shaddai was. God introduces himself as El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, the God who is the self-existent one, who needs nothing. If he needs anything, he can speak it and it's done. Amen? But then when he meets Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, he got a whole new revelation of who God the Father was. And so there he is before him, and look what he did in verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, meaning the plunder. When he went and delivered or rescued Lot and all the people, he took all the plunder back with him. And it says he gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. You know how incredible this verse that we read is? Had it been inverted, it would remove the type of teaching of Christ. Do you know that? Because a King of Righteousness, righteousness always comes before peace. Righteousness is, speaks of the cross. We believe in him, and his righteousness is imputed to us. Amen? But peace comes after righteousness. You have to be right with God before you can have the peace of God. Amen? Amen. And so it says in Romans 5:21, therefore we're justified by faith, by which we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Colossians 1:20 tells us that he made peace for us through the blood of his cross, loved one. So Jesus took our place. Now watch verse 3. It gets gooder and gooder. It says, now this Melchizedek, look at him now. He was without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like, very important word, made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Have you ever met anyone that didn't have a mom and dad? Are you listening to me? So, and here's where it gets mysterious. Boy, if you could go back and study all church history, you'd find that everybody had a different opinion about who Melchizedek was. A lot of people, you know, believe he was divine, okay? Other people say, well, he is a pre-incarnation or pre-incarnate Christ, a theophany, if you will. And some people say, no, he is an angel, and so forth. You know, you say, well, who is Melchizedek? Well, he's a mystery, isn't he? So with all that being said, though, if you study out church history, you'll find that Luther, the one of the great Reformation period, Martin Luther, he said and believed, and I think Calvin did too, that Melchizedek was Shem. And who was Shem? Y'all remember? Noah's son, okay? Now, if you go back and look at their ages and so forth, you'll find out that Shem actually lived 61 years after the meeting, after the day of Abraham. So, obviously, they probably knew one another, okay? You know, do I believe that? No, I let the Bible interpret the Bible. Who was Melchizedek? Look in verse 4, and it tells you who he was. Was he a man? You got it? He's a man. Now listen, he was made, it says, like the Son of God, not that the Son of God was made like Melchizedek, because Melchizedek is a type or points to the truth that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, well, Bill, but what about this, you know, no dad, no mom, no genealogy, none of that stuff? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that the Holy Spirit didn't record it. Is that okay? It's just that simple. He didn't record it because that's the way he wanted to it. Why? Because Melchizedek is a shadow of the true substance, and the true substance is our great high priest and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's amazing. Jesus is our Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, loved one. It is amazing that the writer of Hebrews, listen to me now, he took to prove about Jesus being our great high priest, he went to Genesis 14 and pulled that out. Do you know, if you study the Jewish theology, they don't even mention him, man. We don't know who he is. He goes back to that one meeting, three verses describing him. Then he pulls in that prophecy from the Psalms by King David, Psalm 110:04. And then 1,000 years later, he says, the Holy Spirit moves on him. Do you see the incredible unity of the Bible? Oh, listen, God, it just blows me away when I look at that and I say, dear Lord. So here he is. He says, nope, he's a man. Now, let me say something. The battle here is between about the Levitical priesthood. So he's saying all these things because he wants them to understand that Aaron and his descendants, remember, the Levitical priesthood came through Aaron. That was God's command. But the descendants of Aaron, none of them could ever claim verse 3. No Levitical priest could ever be a king in the old covenant. Never. Why? The law of Moses forbid it. And matter of fact, not only that, no Levitical priest could ever claim to be without father or mother or genealogy. If he didn't have a genealogy that proved he was from the tribe of Levi, he could not serve in the tabernacle. He could not do it. He had to be firmly sure. Everybody had to understand that. Also, no Levitical priest could remain a priest continually. And the reason is because in God's law, the priest could start serving at the age of 25 or 30 right there. And then at the age of 50, it was over with. They had to step out. Even if they were a faithful priest, it was over. And not only that, no Levite, not one Levite in the Levitical priesthood could ever claim Psalm 110 verse 4. Let me read it to you again. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. He'll never change because he made an oath, okay? You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? It means that Melchizedek, number one, he had absolutely no connection with the Levites. And it means also that Melchizedek was before the Aaronic priesthood. But watch this now. Here's Genesis 14. And here's the Psalm of David. There's 1,000 years from between that. And it says, and that's when he pens that psalm. Now listen, whenever David penned that psalm, the Levitical priesthood was at its zenith. Do you understand? I mean, it had never been so glorious. Remember how David divided up all the priests and the singers and this and that? I mean, and there was thousands and thousands of them. And everything, I mean, the choirs, it was unbelievable what happened under David's reign. But in the midst of David's reign, the Holy Spirit moves upon him and he pens Psalm 110 verse 4. In other words, right in the midst of when the Levitical priesthood was at the very zenith. And God says, it's not going to last, man. It's going to be over with. Now, look at verse 4. Now consider, talking about Melchizedek now consider how great this man, what? Now, do you notice that that's in italics in your Bible? Not on your app. Apps, they don't know what italics are. I'm sorry. Now let's look at it again. Consider how great this man, the translators added the was, okay? So consider how great this man, to whom even the patriarch Abraham, remember, Abraham represents all of Israel, all the Levitical priesthood. He's the father of us all. Amen. Yeah. So even the patriarch Abraham, look what he did. He gave a tenth of the spoils, the best portion, the best of the plunder to Melchizedek. There that word again, command, the command to consider. Look at the facts. Now listen carefully. Look how great this man, Abraham, had to have known who Melchizedek was. Do you understand? He had to have known because, listen, Abraham acknowledged him in Genesis 14 instantly. He knew who he was when he showed up. He walked out of, it looks like he just walked out of eternity and walked back into eternity, but that's not the case. He was the king of Salem, which was the king of Jerusalem, okay? Now, with all of that being said, he knew who he was, and here's the other thing, what the writer of Hebrews is doing. He's saying, hey guys, and Melchizedek was superior to Abraham because Abraham gave him a tithe of all the plunder that he took back there from the war. And the battle that he won. Now, he gave him a tithe. Abraham gave him the best portion. But listen, Abraham gave to Melchizedek, who was only a shadow of the truth. Jesus is the true substance of that. You know, Abraham gave unto Melchizedek without even being asked to do so. I wonder what we give to our king. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to what? Well, to receive tithes from the people according to the law, meaning according to the law of Moses. That is from their brothers. Now, though they have come, watch this, from the loins of Abraham, in other words, the tribe of Levi and all the rest of the other tribes, the sons, the 12, they were from, they're all descendants of Abraham. Amen? That's what he's saying here. They all have come from the loins of Abraham. But he, meaning Melchizedek, whose genealogy is not derived from them, not from the tribe of Levi, he's not a descendant of Abraham or Israel. Look what it says. Received tithes from Abraham and blessed Abraham who had the promises. That is unbelievable. Here he is, Abraham. Was Abraham at that time probably the most well-known man in the Middle East? Was he probably the richest man in the Middle East? Absolutely. And he was revered. And what he's saying is that Melchizedek is superior. He's superior, guys, to Abraham and so forth. And Abraham already had the blessings. You remember in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, incredible. What did God do? God picked one man, one person out of all the people on earth at Abraham's time. There in the Ur of the Chaldees, he picked a man called Abram. And he says, Abram, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to get out of your country. I want you to leave your family and your father. I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And he didn't even tell him what that land was. He says, I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to make you a great nation. And not only am I going to make you a great nation, he says, I'm going to do more than that. He says, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And more than that, whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. And here it comes. And then in you, Abe, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. One man that God chose. And here is Abram standing before Melchizedek. And he says, he is superior than me. Are you following me now? Abraham was the one, was it Genesis 6:18 or wherever it is, that God made an oath. He swore to Abraham that surely I'm going to bless you. Man, listen, and with blessing, you will be blessed. I'm going to multiply you. So here we see that scene. Now look at verse 7. Now watch this. Now beyond all contradiction, meaning what he's saying can never be contradicted. Watch this. Beyond all contradiction then, the lesser, that's Abraham, is blessed by the what? The better. That's Melchizedek. Now watch this. Here, that's a very important word. Here, mortal men, men that die, here, the Levitical priesthood, it says they receive tithes. Now that means when he uses the word here, when the writer did that, he says here men receive tithes. That means, again, like I've been telling you since we began Hebrews, the temple was still standing. And not only was it still standing, sacrifices were still being offered. So that proves that. So here it says mortal men receive tithes. But there, Abraham, going back to Genesis 14, there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. His testimony has lived on. Even Levi, remember Levi, the Levitical priesthood, even Levi, now watch this, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Now, how in the world could he have done that? Well, we get the answer in verse 10. For he, meaning Levi, was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Did you just catch that? Man, how powerful is that? Now, what is he saying? He's arguing here. He's proving a point. He's saying, listen, he says, since Melchizedek is now superior or greater than Abraham. And since the Levitical priesthood came through the loins of Abraham, amen? And Abraham, since he paid tithes to Melchizedek, because he did that, Levi, or the Levitical priesthood, also paid tithes through Melchizedek. What does that mean? It means that Melchizedek is superior to the Levitical priesthood. It also means that the priesthood of Melchizedek, now listen, was never replaced by the Levitical priesthood. It is eternal.
Well, there is so much more to this message. So please tune in for our Monday broadcast when Pastor Bill will complete this message. We want to thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll look for you again on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.